look at this and we see the book of Genesis. I love the book of Genesis because it's the law of first mention. It's when it's mentioned the first time. And so when you look here, we see the first time that God became an intercessor. All of a sudden, the King of Glory, the God of God, who made this man, he steps in and says, whoa, whoa. You remember Job and all of his dilemmas? He said, oh, that I had me a daysman, which is a referee. And I wore a referee shirt one night for y'all, and I preached that. Oh, the daysman. If I just had me a referee, somebody to go between me and God and solve this problem. And God stepped in between sin and man and said, I've got a solution. And so God made intercession for Adam and Eve so he could keep what he loved and destroy what he hated. And God made the first substitute for man's sins. When they should have died, something else died in their stead. My God. God substituted the animal's life that Adam and Eve might live and reproduce and replenish the earth. So when you read at the end of the curse, my brother, chapter 4 says, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived. So God was giving a plan out of how he was going to eradicate sin and still love man. And so God looked at her, I think it's like Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. He looked at the serpent and he said, you may bruise my heel, but I will bruise your head. I'm going to find a way to kill sin. I'll be back. God loves to communicate with you. A lost art today is prayer. People don't spend time praying. They don't. Add it up. You don't. And because of that, if you don't pray, he can't pray. I want to show you what you're missing. God loves to communicate with man through prayer. Reading his Bible is great, but you have to pray. And God became, he said, in old times and in sundry times, he spoke through his prophets in diverse manners and different places. But in the last days, he spoke through his dear son as an intercessor, as a mediator between God and man. Jesus Christ came in the form of a babe, and he was a born-again Adam, so that he was the first of the born-again. Anything you love, you won't help. You will help. And Christ loves us, so he came to help us. Galatians 3 and 20. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. A mediator is not a mediator of one. I can't call you, Brother Petrie. Let's go mediate. Listen, you and I go mediate. I got a one-sided story. That's what I got. But if you two are having trouble, I say, let's go mediate. And what that means, I'll put you in one room, I'll put him in one room, and I'll be the go-between. You stay in your room, you stay in your room, I'll talk to you, and I'll bring to you, and I'll tell you what I want to tell you that he said, and I don't want to tell you, I won't tell you. And I'll mediate this thing out. Yeah, but have you considered this? Yeah, but he didn't mean that. And that's what mediation is. That's what mediate is, this going back and forth. But there's not but one God to mediate with, but it's the going between of two parties. And so what we find is Jesus Christ became the mediator between two parties, God and man. What a perfect mediator who's both God and he's man. So he understands the God side, the spirit side, and he understands what you're going through. He said, yeah, but God, they didn't mean that. If you knew their heart, then what you would understand is they fell into sin. They were taken by sin. And he goes back and he tells them, they didn't mean that, God. Forgive them of their, okay, I'll forgive them. And he finds a way to get peace and harmony between the two that have fallen apart. 1 Timothy 2 and 4, who have all men be saved, who will have all men to be saved, and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. You can take your problems to anybody you want to, and they can act in God's stead to only a certain degree. But I will tell you, there's nobody to take your problem to better than Jesus. Hallelujah. Nobody better than Jesus. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Nobody but Jesus can solve your problems. Nobody. Who gave himself a ransom. Not for one, but for all, to be testified in due time. The dilemma between what God loved and what he hated, he would reconcile with the life and death of Jesus Christ. God wanted to restore the hand-holding. He wanted to restore the hugging. He wanted to restore the here, I love you. I wanted to hear, I'm not afraid of you anymore. I want to pray. I want to see your face. And we sing, oh, I want to see him look. They weren't singing that in the Old Testament. Oh, no, Moses, you talk to him. I don't want to see him. Oh, I don't want to see him and look upon his face. John 12:31. God wants to restore this love. No matter how many times you fall, he still, that's that crazy love, brother. It's that crazy love. God still wants to restore you even though you keep falling. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. I have found a way. I have found a way to eradicate what I hate and keep what I love. Clap your hands to the Lord. Oh, yeah. I have found a way. Now is judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men. They'll want to see me. They'll want to go to church. They'll want to pray. They'll want to say, I love you. They'll want to be a prayer warrior for me. They'll want to fast. They'll want to love their brother and their sister. They'll want to reconcile their differences with their enemies and their marriage and their children. They'll want to live a life of reconciliation if they'll let me draw them, because I'm trying to reconcile you to me. They'll want to live a life like that. People that don't want to reconcile are not godly. Put it right there. If you don't want to reconcile, you're not godly. Godliness is reconciliation. He told them, you have given us the ministry of reconciliation. And as long as there's another opportunity, then God's for it. The Spirit of God is always here to help you and to change you. And to lift you up. He said, if I be lifted up, both God and man was lifted up on that pole. He said, I will draw all men unto me. So you see, in the New Testament, Jesus was all about doing good everywhere he went. That's what the book says. He came to help. He came to help you overcome evil with what? Oh, I thank you for listening. You overcome evil with what? Good. You can never overcome evil with evil. You can never out-argue your way out of anything. It'll never work. But what you can do is overcome evil with good. Jesus went about doing good everywhere he went, the book says. My. Jesus came interceding for people in their sicknesses and in their weeping, in their struggles, in their death. He, even when he prayed for Lazarus, he said, Father, I'm thankful that you hear me and you always hear me. But for these people, I'm glad that Lazarus had died so they can see that I'm an intercessor. And he said, Father, you hear me. You always hear me. And then when he got through praying, he said, Lazarus, come forth. He interceded for their weeping and their mourning. I'm telling you, Jesus is an intercessor. And as long as Jesus was on the earth, he was comforting people. He was so compassionate. I mean, you and I are the transgressor, and he is the intercessor. He was the high priest that went before God and before man and brought our sins to God. He was a comforter. As long as the apostles had him right handy and right close, oh, they were so peaceful. It's like, we got Jesus. We can do anything as long as we got Jesus. John 14:14, if ye ask anything in my name, he said, I will do it. Wow, that's pretty comforting. That's almost like the genie in the bottle, right? I mean, just tell me what you want and I will do it. If you love me, though, he said, see, there's a little catch to that. If you love me, then keep my commandments, and I will pray. See, that's what you're not doing. I will pray. One time, I had the greatest dilemma I ever went through. And I'm not really a man to seek help, but I was in such a dilemma, I realized I needed help. And so I went to one, and they said such and such. I went to another, and they said such and such. And so I said, no, this is not right. This is not right. And because they were against me. And so I said, let me find somebody that I trust. And I went and I drove to the preacher's house. No, his church. And I sat down with him. And I said, brother, here's the deal. And he said, let's pray about it. I said, that's a new twist. That's what I told him. I said, that's a new twist. Because ain't none of them other guys I talked to said, let's pray about it. Prayer changes things, or why pray? I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. It's a capital. I'm here, and as long as I'm here, then you're good. But I got to pray to the Father. I'm going to intercede on your behalf that he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you whenever you get in trouble, forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I'm dwelling with you, but he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. What part does some of these people don't get that sees all these divisions in God and Christ? I will come unto you. But the Comforter, John 14:26 says, which is the Holy Ghost, make no mistake about it, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Holy Ghost is a reconciler. It brings you back into harmony. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives unto you. People are upside down today because they don't have the peace of God inside their life. The Spirit of God is a it searches the heart. Let's read Romans 8:26. Paul had talked in the first part of this chapter about the Spirit and what all the Spirit does and how to walk in the Spirit and don't walk in the flesh, that you fulfill the lust thereof and so forth and so on. Then he gets down to verse 26. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth. Oh, God, don't you understand what he gave you, the Holy Ghost? Oh, so right, the song says, oh, what needless pain we bear. What does the rest of it say? All because we do not take it where? To him in prayer. And the problem that some of you are having is you're not praying. You are taking the task on without prayer. And it will not work. If Jesus had to go and pray in the garden before he went to the cross, how much more do you need to pray? I've never been a one, and maybe it's my downfall, but I'll come up today. How many of y'all are going to pray an hour this week? I mean, they made you raise your hand, put it on a Crayola and a pencil and paper or something, make you commit to it. And you may have been down there just, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. But you know what? It was commitment. It was discipline. It was, I'm going to do it anyway because I was asked to do it. And there's something to be said about that as well. So next week, get ready. Watch what he says. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what to pray, should pray as we ought. I'm telling you, you don't know how to pray. I don't mind telling every one of you, none of you know how to pray, including me. Unless the Spirit, because what you're going to pray is, Lord, take this off of Johnny, Lord. You know he's been through so much, Lord. You know that wasn't his fault, Lord. You know he wouldn't do that, Lord. You know his heart, Lord. And you're going to pray what God has put on him, off of him, when it was God's plan to put it on him. so he would correct his ways. You don't know how to pray as you ought unless the Spirit makes intercession. Watch. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession. That's what the Holy Ghost does for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm telling you, the greatest prayer I ever prayed in my life, I wasn't uttering a word. It was the Hannah prayer. Oh, yeah, the Hannah prayer. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. And you're just, and he said, she's drunk, get rid of her. And the Lord said, oh, no, wait a minute. Her soul is crying out. Oh, look, God, give me a drink. And the Spirit was praying. How many of you know what it's like for the Spirit to pray? And you get so lost there, and you're just, and you're just speaking in tongues. There's nobody around you, you're just praying. When's the last time you did that? And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession with the saints according not to your will, but to the will of God. For we know that all things, here's the scripture we quote so many times out of context. For we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the God and are called according to his purpose. But read the two verses ahead of it. This is what works together, is the Spirit, the soul, and the heart. The Spirit searches and knows the mind of the Spirit, and it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is his purpose that we're talking about. And we get it so mixed up, or whatever you want to call it. We get it so confused that we think everything that happens, well, it's just the will of God. The Spirit of God searches all things, it says. I'm going to tell you something. Before there was a Google, there was a God. Too many people are Googling instead of Godding it. You want an answer? Got it. God's got it. Google don't. It'll never lead you to God for the right answers. My, my, my. It searches the hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit. Aren't you glad that there's something inside of you called the Holy Ghost that searches your heart and yet knows the mind of the Spirit, and it's making intercessions for the will of God? Lord, search my heart. No wonder David said, see if there be any wicked thing in me, and let me know, God, how I need to conquer this thing. Because, Lord, I'm still driven by lust. I'm still driven by desire. Lord, I shouldn't have done what I did, but, Lord, I did it anyway. I thank you for forgiving me. Wash me. Make me cleaner. Wash me whiter than snow. And the Spirit was making intercession with groanings that could not be uttered. You can't put it into words. God can reach what you can't reach through the Spirit. He can heal what you'll never heal with medicine. He can do it. I'm not against it, but I'm just telling you, a God can do all things. And because I have the Spirit in me tonight, I don't have to worry if you let me down, because he will lift me up. If your mother or your father forsake you, I hate that, but he'll lift you up. Hallelujah. And when you don't know which way to go, I'm going to close with this. Oh, I'm running out of time. Send out the dove. When you don't know which way to go, send out the dove. The dove was likened to the Spirit of God, a representative of God's Spirit. And, of course, we know when Noah was in the ark and he was in a dilemma. Do I get out or do I stay in? Is it dry or is it wet? Will I live or will I die? He said, I'll send out a dove. And he sent out the dove, and the dove came back and said, stay in the boat. Stay in the boat. The Spirit of the Lord should always go before you. The Bible says that the apostles would say, and the Holy Ghost bade us not to go into certain cities. They'd send out the dove. And on the next time, he sends the dove out again, and the dove comes with an olive leaf. And the Bible says, plucked off. Don't miss that. plucked off. It wasn't some drifting leaf, half brown, half green. It was a plucked off leaf, a fresh growth on that bush. And he brought that back, and the dove said, it's time to get out. Send out the dove. Send out the Holy Ghost. It will lead you and guide you into all truth. And so it was that even Jesus, when he had finished the baptism, he comes up out of the water, and there lit upon him like unto a dove, and it remained. My, my, my. And a voice came from heaven saying, behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Send out the dove. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is a precursor in our lives. Before you do anything, check with the Lord. Check with that. Let it make some intercession. I'm not talking about whether you go to the grocery store or not. That's not what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Kingdom things. Things that can change the course of your life for heaven or hell. As they come tonight, with man, things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And tonight, I just feel like talking for the next few minutes to anybody who finds themselves in a dilemma. My story will close with this. A man has a son that he loves. You love your children? If you have children, I'm sure you do. And the Bible says he was a lunatic. That son was a lunatic. They called him lunatic because they thought it went with the moon phases. That's what made them crazy. And he loved his son. Lunatic or not lunatic, it's my son. I love my son, but I don't know how to get rid of what I hate. I want to keep my son, but I don't want to keep the disease. And so he heard about Jesus and his disciples, and he brings his son to Jesus' disciples. Can you do anything for my son? Oh, they anoint him and they pray for him and they're circling around and they're grabbing him by the, and the boy says, I love my son. You may not love my son, but I love my son. You may think he's crazy, and maybe he is, but I love him crazy. Nobody understands that but you. Man was discouraged. How can I keep what I love and get rid of what I hate? And so the disciples said, look, we don't know what to do. Let's bring him. When you don't know what to do, I know what to do. I can pray for you. I'll anoint you. I will do. You know, we tell people, I will pray for you. Oh, thank you. I wish we could find when people say, I'm going to pray for you, they got out the ashes and the sackcloth and shaved their head and sat among the ashes and said, oh God, heal them, Lord. Heal them, Jesus. I'm going to travail, God, before you, Lord. Jesus, I'm not going to quit till you move, God. Where's the travailers? Where's the wailers? Where's the weepers? They took Jesus and they were taken into the cross and the women were weeping and they were wailing. He said, oh, no, don't weep for me. Weep for your children. If they